Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Continuing the story of Caesar and Cato, how Caesar and Cato's deadly rivalry destroyed the Roman Republic. Professor Josiah Osgood of Georgetown University is the author. Uncommon Wrath. It is now 58 BCE. Our two protagonists, Cato, condemning Caesar and his bribery and his high-handedness and his seduction and his love of luxury and spending money and getting into debt. And Caesar, regarding Cato as a spoilsport and as a conniver, a man who uses his posture, going barefoot sometimes or always taking very care with his diet, not eating extravagantly, preaching reform in the Senate, saying that bribery is a bad thing for the Republic, Cato denouncing Caesar, Caesar denouncing Cato. They now go their separate ways to establish their reputations because they're older now, and they're looking to be consuls and major men of the Roman Republic in the coming years. Caesar to Gaul for a command, a critical command in 58, and Cato to Cyprus. Why Cyprus? Professor, why did Cato go to Cyprus and what did he achieve there?
Yes. So Cato really actually didn't want to go to Cyprus at first. It was sort of a plot with Caesar's consent to get Cato out of Rome for a while so he could cause fewer problems for Caesar, for Pompey, for Crassus, these three powerful allies. So the scheme was basically actually to liquidate the kingdom there. It had been part of Egypt, the glorious Ptolemaic Empire established by one of Alexander's friends and generals, Ptolemy. And there was a king there. There was a separate king in Egypt at this point. And the king of Egypt actually paid a bribe to save his throne. But the king in Cyprus did not. So it was going to be a takeover. And there was sort of a basis in an old will. Some people thought that will was faked. But anyway, it was all a little bit dubious. And of course, for Cato, with his rectitude, this was questionable. You know, okay, so if you bribe, then you get to keep your throne. What kind of foreign policy is this? So Cato hesitated, but finally he agreed to go. And part of this would be glory. He wasn't completely immune to winning luster for achievements. But also he felt, well, if somebody else went, they'll squeeze all the money out and nothing will make it back to the treasury. So Cato kind of saw this as a chance to model the correct type of government that he wanted overseas. So he went off to Cyprus. Cato was never a fighter. And, you know, it was a little bit of a question, right? Would the king put up resistance? The king decided to take his life. He was so devastated by what had happened to him. So that solved that problem for Cato, conveniently. And then he was left to do the more enjoyable task of kind of liquidating everything. Cato loved accounting. He loved sort of presiding over little administrative details. So he made sure everything was inventoried correctly, auctioned at the highest price, and he really raised quite a bit of money, and he brought it back to Rome. And it was all quite dramatically done. Cato showed some flair here. So he put the money in special chests to which he attached large corks. Just in case there was a shipwreck, they would be able to find, you know, where these chests sunk into the sea. So he made it back to Rome and made quite a parade through the forum with these chests with all of the silver that he brought back for the people, and sort of showed his type of provincial government. Overseas profits will go to help the people's treasury in Rome.
Caesar to Gaul. The Gaulish tribes are rebellious or defiant, or they're nomads. You can see it in many ways. The Romans wanted them to stay exactly where they were assigned. And in the instance, the Helvetii are looking to migrate other tribes all through Gaul. This is from the Rhine River all the way to the Atlantic. Caesar is an extremely effective leader of the army. And there's a reason for this. Because having spent his early days in the Forum, the theater of power, he understood he had to be a military man. And Professor, it's one of the puzzling aspects about Caesar's personality. He puts himself at great risk. He identifies with his soldiers. He's extremely sympathetic. He's ruthless. He's all of that at the same time. Do we believe that his reputation as a great general coming, he gets himself into these terrible situations and he fights his way out. Is that exaggerated because of the nature of the biographers, or do we have evidence that he really did get in trouble again and again and fight his and heroically win the day?
Yeah, so this war in Gaul dragged on for years and years. It really was the making of Julius Caesar. And we have the ancient biographies. The other thing we have is actually Caesar's own first person account. These are his commentaries, as they're called. Students still learn their basic Latin from Julius Caesar today. So it's a bit like the famous line of Churchill, "History will be kind to me because I intend to write it." So Caesar wrote up these accounts of his wars in Gaul, and they are quite interesting because obviously they must be flattering to Caesar. And, you know, we certainly don't get the perspective of the Gauls. But at the same time, he does in these accounts sort of show himself getting into trouble and working himself into tight corners and sort of having to make his escape with his army. And part of how he did this, right, is he demonstrates that he had reason. He sort of always explains his reasoning, right? In this situation, I waited, I didn't fight, but in that situation, I went completely on the offensive and suddenly appeared where nobody thought I would be. So he kind of shows his strategic sense. But the other thing, as you mentioned, right, is it really comes out this bond that he formed with his army. And even with sort of the ordinary non-commissioned officers. And one of the most interesting revealing things about these accounts is he kind of gives them cameo roles. He sort of isn't so nice about the high-ranking officers, the fellow senators, but it's often one of these centurions, as they were called, who sort of bravely steps forward and, along with Caesar, saves the day.
Meanwhile, back in Rome, Caesar has effectively sealed his relationship with Pompey, the great general, by having Pompey marry Caesar's daughter, Julia. They both love Julia. She must have been a marvelous young woman. Julia is a person who breaks Caesar's heart when she dies, breaks Pompey's heart when she dies, and they also lose the child. She died in childbirth. At the same time, Cato is being very cautious about Pompey in Rome, seeing Pompey as a threat. Pompey is the possible Sulla. Pompey is the possible dictator. And Pompey is not secretive about how he and Crassus and Caesar are looking to corrupt yet another election. I believe this is the consulship of 55. I don't know. They all run together, 55, 54, 53, sometimes there's not even a consul because it's so corrupt. Cato is now emerging as a figure of freedom. Does that how he is that? Does he use that word liberty? Do they the language of the Enlightenment? Do they have it, Professor?
Oh yeah, and really everybody used the word freedom, and you know, on some level, you can treat that cynically. You know, this is sort of a catchword, as some Roman historians have put it, but it really was a sacred idea for the Romans, for ordinary individuals, ordinary citizens, as well as their leaders. So I think they did talk about it, and you know, obviously it could be manipulated, but it was a sincere struggle too. You know, what does freedom mean? Is it freedom for the ordinary people? Is it freedom from the power of strong men, right? It really was an active debate, sort of like debates about freedom that we've had in American history. I think as Americans, we can understand this.
Also, Keen, at this point, Pompey, after Julia's death, suddenly becomes someone that Cato starts to romance. Is it this early in the elections of the 50s? And Cato is persuaded to Pompey's side? Pompey is persuaded to Cato's side at this point, or is that later?
Yeah. So this is kind of the corollary of these sudden marriage alliances and divorces and sort of the shifting coalitions. Julia died, and it was a blow to Caesar. He took it hard, bravely, but took it hard. And it was a loss for Pompey, too. He really was devoted to his wife, we're told. So after that, you know, everyone in Rome is starting to say, well, what's going to happen to this relationship between Pompey and Caesar, right? Now that the great bond between them, the greatest bond between them, it has been severed. And at first, Pompey stayed sort of allied with Caesar. So it's not as if young Julia's death instantly changed everything. But Cato must have sensed an opportunity. And he sort of started to treat Pompey more respectfully. And as you mentioned, there's increasing anarchy in the city of Rome itself, riots, problems with the grain supply, among other things. So what Cato does is he sort of appeals to Pompey, who has this reputation for efficiency, to sort of restore things. And he has to do it kind of on the terms of Cato. And the two of them are willing to collaborate. And that, of course, spells trouble for Caesar, certainly as Caesar saw it, if his great ally Pompey is now working with his arch nemesis, Cato.
Yes, the foreshadow of the Civil War ahead of us. Uncommon Wrath, How Caesar and Cato's Deadly Rivalry Destroyed the Roman Republic. Josiah Osgood is the author. I'm John Patrick.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community. because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.